Jimbo, obviously you made it a point that you're not going to comment on jobs with us. Mm-hmm. What do you tell your players? Because they, obviously they're interested.
Not just like that. We're playing, controlling what we can play. We're getting ready to play this week in ULM. I'm being here coaching you right now, so let's go.
And I'm sorry.
No, we're going to be ready to play.
And also, to your fans, because you can speak to the fans. When is it the right time to talk about
I'm
jobs?
I'm not going
to
speak about jobs right now.
Jimbo, ULM, they do score a lot of points. Just what type of offense do they run? And
very wide open. Quarterback, a lot of RPOs, a lot of run-pass options, receivers. I have a big receiver. Green can really make plays. The other guys are very big, physical, play over top of you, run the ball very well. A lot of RPOs, quarterback runs. Quarterback's the second leading rusher on the team. So, I mean, very dynamic that way, opportunistic. And, I mean, they let it hang out. And what I mean is they get no scoring battles. I mean, they'll trick plays, whatever they do. They'll go at you and very multidimensional in what they do with spreading the field.
Jimbo, how much of a challenge is it preparing for a team twice? I mean, you didn't get to play the first time.
It's a good question. And we pulled the other notes up, and there's some things that they have done going into that game they still do, and there's some things that they're not doing as much. And, you know, as seasons go on and injuries happen, different things happen, different teams you play, scenarios. So there's some things that are different. So sometimes you can't say, you know, pull it out and let's just do what we did before. It's not the same thing because they've done some different things. So it can be tough. You know, as you walk back, you start, you know, those – things trigger back and hit, oh, yeah, I remember they did this. I remember they did that. So an advantage, it's an advantage in that you have a chance to remember some of the things they did, and you have a kind of a blueprint from before, and you're kind of just rechecking what would be good, what would be good, and there's some changes that definitely have to be made because they've changed.
Jimbo, you mentioned the mental fatigue of just playing one of your biggest rivalry games.
And so many weeks in a row without an off week, which has been very critical.
Do you do anything to give them a mental break, anything different in that respect?
You do. You cut practice. You change meetings. You do different things around to help their concentration levels, and you may take some, and that's where the GPS helps us tremendously as far as the physical part of it, of what their are, you know, their you know, what they think of practice, how hard it is on them mentally, physically, and where their heart rates are, their speeds, and you can adjust if the body's breaking down or not in certain guys or as our overall team. And I think from a mental standpoint, I think the meetings and things you have to change up and mix up just a little bit to create some different scenarios for them so they're not, you don't get drained. I know that sounds crazy, but you can be when it gets monotonous, when it's over and over and over and over, especially when you play so many young players. That's what I think these young freshmen are now learning, that it's great to play. I got to play well. But wait a minute, I play that big schedule. Man, that guy hit hard. That guy hit hard. That team hit hard. And all of a sudden, after 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row of that, my body, man, no, I got to, yeah, you got to practice. You got to practice well. And I mean, the mental and psychological fatigue that goes with being a young player that our guys are having to endure now and are doing a great job with it, but it's all part of that whole process.
Jimbo, you've had the policy of not talking about jobs for ever much since you've been here. But what's the thought process behind that? Because it seems like it creates just as much controversy.
I'm just not going to talk about
them. I mean, Coach, I mean, do your players come up and ask you frequently about these jobs, or do they ask you at all?
No. I'm always honest with him.
What was the deal with Dontavius Jackson? Was that the right call for him to be ejected? Have you heard back?
He wasn't the one I haven't seen, so we have to. Now, it's a different set of officials. That's not our conference, so if we get a reply back or not, I don't know. But, no, that was not – he was not involved in that.
But he got one unsportsmanlike, right?
That's yes. It? And the one is I didn't see that. I didn't see that either.
Do you think they got confused with the two number fives?
That's a great question. but the other number five, there was one. But what went on was, man, wow, I don't agree with any of that at all. I mean, it was way off. Way off what we were told. Because the bad part about it, Hampshire's the one who gets tackled on the play and held. And then he threw his guy off of him, which was allowed. I mean, the guy was, he tackled him. Should have been a holding call. We thought, we were standing over thinking it's a penalty on them. Going the other way, and then I get all that. And then you can't. I mean, there's no way because replays and you don't get it, you know, replayed that way. It was a big shock the way that went down. It really was.
Jimbo, I don't know if this is right. I saw a stat. It was pretty amazing. It said Patrick had 64 yards after contact out of his 67. I don't know. At first, is that close to accurate?
Oh, yeah.
And if so, how amazing is that?
Well, it is because, see, the way they played an extra guy in the box. But they did it in a profile position. What I mean by that, we block everybody but the edge, and you zone read the edge, like a lot of teams do. So when he makes that contact, it's not a head-up hit. Because if he commits, the quarterback can keep the ball in play. So when he's playing two guys a lot of times, so when he hits it, Jacquez has already got 3 or 4 yards, but you, as I call profile tackle, you're hitting from the side, you're going to get 3, 4, 5, 6 more yards if you run the right way. And then he ran that way and did some other things. So how they played it by the scheme going in, you're going to create some yak yards in a different way. But that's how you have to play the extra guy in the box, and people have to play the quarterback zone read and all that stuff, and that's where that comes in. And you yak yards are created more that way than the old way of doing things, in the old school way, if that makes any sense. If you mean my profile tackle, how that guy's trying to play two people on the side, you know what I'm saying? So, and you get movement inside, then there's a crease, and those backs hit it. Well, you're 230 pounds, and you hit those guys, once they've got 2 or 3 yards, and you're coming down from the side, they're going to knock you backwards. And I was very proud of the way he ran the game. He was huge in the game. Just, I tell you, the big run we don't think about is the 3rd and 15 after the called touchdown back that we end up getting the 3rd touchdown to go ahead. We, you know, they went to a blitz and we checked to a run and got us in it. And he broke a tackle, made a guy miss and made a 14-yard run. And we were able to score a touchdown. Instead of having to kick a field goal there was also a huge play. The check down, the runs. I mean, he's doing a great job.
Jimbo, on the broadcast they showed the defensive board or the turnover board with guys' signatures on it. Is that just another like motivational thing?
Yeah, we've had that. That's why I said we don't promote all that stuff, but we do things that we've always done things. We didn't have a chain or, but you know, some people like to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, different things, but we've always, you know, signified great plays and things like that. Like we just do it on the side over there, writing on the board.
Do you feel that not commenting on these coaching rumors negatively affects recruiting?
No. We've recruited very well since I've been here, haven't we?
Jimbo, with Jacquez, you said, you know, after the game, he's kind of been an unsung hero. How have the players and his teammates kind of taken to him and
respected him for it? They see how he goes to work every day and how he gets on him and how he practices and how hard I mean, all the things. And they see it on film. When you go, that eye in the sky don't lie. When you put it on and they can see who's playing, who's not playing, they know who's banged up and hurt and bruised and playing through things and the whole, and then the way they practice, those guys, you can't fool it. You know what I mean? And you can't fool them. They know internally, and they have a lot of respect for him. And I have a lot of respect for him. He has made a lot of changes and growing up, and not that he wasn't, but just maturing and learning to fight through those things and become the player he can become. Very proud of him.
Jim, during your time here, you know, 5 straight New Year's 6 bowls, number of 10 win seasons. How hard is that to maintain? How hard is it to kind of?
Oh, it's hard. There's a fine line there, but at the same time, you can, but you have to anticipate problems. You have to stay on top of problems, and you have to be willing to make changes in the changes that are made, whether it's here, whether it's administratively, whether it's football-wise, X and O's. And then you got to have a little luck. You got to stay healthy at the right time. You got to have a right break at the right time. All that's part of, you know, those streaks and things that go on. I mean, they're all part of it.
Jimbo, Cam has a chance to become the all-time freshman rushing leader. Given some of the names that are on that list, Dalvin, Devontae, what's that say about him to kind of?
Well, I mean, that's big shoes to fill in, especially with the expectations on him coming in. And I think that's what he's learning to push through now. Like yesterday, you know, he said, and I just didn't play as well as I wanted. I didn't practice as well last week sometimes, you know, I was banged. But they understand that. And I said, when you get on those kind of lists with those kind of people, it's not just talent that puts you there. It's character. It's toughness. It's discipline. It's sacrifice. And I think what those young guys realize, those numbers around here by some of those guys, how they're earned. God bless you, but they also have their special inside to be able to get to that level. And for him to be even mentioned in that, it's pretty special.
Jimbo, you've talked a lot about the motivation to extend the bowl streak and how important that is for the program. But also, what do those 15 practices do for the players?
It's another spring practice. I mean, that's how many you get in spring. You get 15 practices, so you can develop young guys. You can work on specific things you have. There's a huge deal in their development, and it's almost a practice where until the last, you know, 7 or 8, those first ones, you can relax and kind of not get grinded into a game plan type deal, because that's a different animal. You know what I'm saying? And you can experiment with guys. You can change guys. You can get them to work on a few things and see what their future is going to be. I mean, those 15 practices are huge, because that's really an extra spring practice.
Coach, can you talk about the growth of James Blackman from, you know, game, his first game to what you saw against Florida?
You know, as a person's where he's developed. I mean, he's been through it. He feels the pressure of winning. He's, you know, he's made plays that have led to us having a chance to win, to maybe not winning, or a mistake costing us the game. But, you know, when you touch the ball every play, that's always going to be the scenario. I mean, you go all the way through. I mean, I can even remember when Tom Brady, I remember 2 or 3 years ago, they went to Kansas City. stunk it up, got beat, whatever it was, 30, and he threw three or four picks. Tom Brady's 38 years old. He's done. He's I mean, no matter what you've done, and you got to remember that every time you touch the ball, there's going to be a responsibility. And I think that's where he's grown and not truly understanding the magnitude of that and every decision you make. And you're making so many as a young player that touches it, whether you're handing the ball off, whether you're making a run check, making the pass, which he did in that game a couple times, made a couple big run checks that we split out. No, but just watching him and how he's dealt with that internally. And then to watch him make the plays he did the other day at the time of the game he made them was another step for him to say, you know something, no matter what goes on, he just keep going. He's just learning and understanding it and trusting in what we're trying to teach him and believing it, and he's done a great job. And I'm very, very – it's the physical part, but it's the mental part and the psychological disposition, how to handle and play the position, which is the most demanding. And he's learning to grow at that, and I'm very proud of him for that.
Yeah, Jimbo, last month, where has the defense made the biggest strides in improving, you know, in season since the Syracuse game, let's say?
I think Syracuse game, they played pretty well, to be honest with you. I thought they really did control those guys at the time, the way they were playing at that time, Syracuse was. We gave up a couple, third downs. I think that's something we still have to work on. But we're creating more turnovers. We're creating more negative plays. Capitalizing on the turnovers, and I think we're playing together better a little bit as an offense, defense, feeding off each other that way. So, but I think they're playing the run very well, and I think just being more disciplined, the young guys in the secondary playing, and I see Derwin even playing better and better each week as he's getting in the groove of really playing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Jimbo. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great. Just talk about on your defensive line, you have a kid from Baltimore, Joshua. I can't say his last name.
Kane Doe.
What did he bring the last couple of weeks for him?
Well, he had four sacks the week before, which you saw his potential where he could grow. But last week you saw the tackles. You saw him playing the run. He's really becoming a complete player, recognizing run, pass, run, and transitioning that way. I mean, he's big. He's long. He's athletic. He has an unlimited future ahead of him, and he's a great kid. I mean, very intelligent young man. He's a great kid.
And what do you see differently from Elise and Monroe that you saw differently back in September?
You know, defensively, they're doing a couple things differently that they weren't. It's a great question. Offensively, man, they're really dynamic. I mean, they were dynamic last year, but they're scoring even more points right now. They're being much more consistent. Marcus Green is an outstanding player. Every time he touches the ball, whether special teams or anywhere else, the quarterback, all he does is make great decisions and hit what he throws at. And those guys are being – and they're wide open how they're calling it. They're 2 years into the offense, so they're a lot more comfortable with it and doing the things they need to do. So they're a very good football team.
Thanks, Jimbo. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
Jimbo, Dan Mullen was announced recently as going to University of Florida.
I heard that. I didn't.
Yeah.
I think Dan's an outstanding coach. I've known Dan. I've talked to Dan off and on. You know, we'll call if we play common opponents and have shared information. I guess those days are over. I think he does a great job. I think he's done an outstanding job at Mississippi State. Does a good job with the RPOs and the quarterback runs, just like they did with Tebow back in the day, run, pass. The guy they got over there right now is an outstanding. They had an outstanding team. They were a few plays away from being about 11-1 with that team in Mississippi State. And you get good players in there, Mississippi. They've got really good players. But I think Dan has done a great job just running the organization. I think he's a smart offensive coach. He's done a great job with his defenses. You got a really good defensive coordinator, Todd Grantham, in there right now. So I think all those things are, you know, lead to him. He'll be a very good coach at Florida and all the resources and players they can get.
I think he's the kind of guy that can make a splash. He's familiar, obviously, with the state, being at Florida before, but big splash in recruiting here.
I think he can because people know and they can – you know, resonate with him because he's won national championships when he was a coach at Florida earlier. So, I mean, I think, and going into a place that you're still, you have some, you know, it's been a few years since you've been there, but you still understand where to go, what to do, and you know the state a little bit. I think he'll make a difference. I really do. I think Dan's an outstanding coach. I think he does a great job.
Jimbo, peeking ahead to 2018, you'll have two quarterbacks that started an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
What have you ever had that before? And what will that mean for a quarterback competition when you have two guys?
I've had them off and on. I've never had one. Have had them start whole years themselves. You know what I mean? Like five games or six games off and on in their careers. But, I mean, it'll make it very interesting for guys that, you know, great competition, which will be good to see and see which one of them can go out there and lead our football team. But, you know, it's great to have that experience. And you know this, that, you know, whether you have to, you know, people say, do you play two of them? Well, maybe if that's the case, I don't know that. You have to wait and play it out. But you know one thing, the guy that is in reserve has definitely led your team and won games and done things. So that can be a, that's a great cushion to have right there.
And just looking at the roster overall in 2018, you have a lot coming back. You lose some, but you have a lot coming back. What excites you about when you peek ahead to what?
Well, I think some of those young guys, like you're seeing on defense. I mean, the Marvins and the Kandos and all the secondary, Stanford and Hampshire and Cyrus Fagan. I'm probably missing some guys, but you know, some of those young players, you see them evolving on offense. Even a Keith Gavin, who's got his first time a real playing, and he grows up. And Auden, if once he can get healthy and get back in there. You know, an offensive line getting better, young quarterbacks, Cam Akers' growth, Jacquez Patrick's growth, Vickers, all those guys in the second, those young backs behind them, I think, are very talented. I've said that. So, you know, and then on defense, you know, what you don't know what juniors are coming out. You know, what juniors end up going and what not. So, that, you know, from that standpoint, you got to wait and see. But, you know, it makes you very excited. And the kicking game, you're very proud that you got a great kick. I think those two guys, if you really watched the improvement they've made from the first game and throughout the year with, you know, Ricky and Logan, I thought they've done an outstanding job too. And, you know, and that DJ Matthews, see him evolve on offense and in the return game and things. So, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to.
And after watching the film, was Blackmon as good as we thought he was after the game on
Sunday? Yeah, and there was critical moments. There's a couple of things he did wrong, but a couple of things he did right, you know, that even it was better than I even thought. But what I was so proud of is those, again, playing those critical moments of the game when it was still in limbo and the situations he made and the decisions he made. I was extremely, extremely happy with those.
Coach, for James Blackmon, have you noticed as a coach, is there a player that he turns to in particular just for advice, for leadership? Is there a particular player on the team that he looks to?
No, I think he has a great repertoire with all the guys. There's no one I notice particularly. He's always standing in my ear in practice. When we get done, he's always walking right there when the other guys are repping. We're talking out the plays and watching the other guys do the plays. So he's always in my ear. But I'm sure there are some guys on there. I think Derwin always is very positive with him. And I see him interact with him even though he's on defense, going over and always encouraging him and getting the guys going. I see that interaction a lot. But I'm sure there's some others.
Jimbo, a couple weeks ago, I know three young men who are leaving the game passing a car accident. I know – I heard we were told that you reached out to the families and some of your players had their initials on their wristbands. Yeah. Just could you talk about how that's affected?
Well, I mean, you just how you take for granted. I'm going to watch my favorite team play. I'm going to have a great weekend. I'm going to have fun, and you know, something like that happens. It just shows you how fragile life is, and that you know we respect what we do. Like, you know, you say, you know, this fan, listen, I love the fans. I love everything about them, and I want them to be the happiest people in the world. And I respect everything they do and their loyalty and the things they give us. And to have one of our fans to go to a game and think he's having a great weekend and be able to go back, I can't process it. I couldn't imagine if that was my family or my son or my brother or one of my kids or, you know, and how appreciative we are for that. And the things we do, if we can find out things like that, we try to do that, I know, quite a bit. And I don't like to publicize. I don't want anything. I don't know how you found that out, but you know, just the respect we have and the love, and it's just family members. It's people. And at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. Our business about the kids, the players, the coaches, the fans. It's all interaction of people. And we all have feelings. We all want things good and bad. We all want to be good, but we all have there's disasters in that happen in our life. And you know that someone cares and matters. And for them to be thoughtful enough to come to one of our games and something tragic like that happened, you know, just want to know that we care. And it means a lot to us. Y'all doing that. And then God bless them and hope their families are okay. I know that's going to be tough. And our players, I'm very proud of them because they understand that too.
I know wins against Florida and against big rivals are so significant. Do you do anything to celebrate with the team?
No, we do. We enjoy them. But, you know, I think trying to get them to understand how to prepare for them is huge. But also that, you know, we do celebrate them and don't ever take them for granted. That's for sure. Because, like I say, when you start to do them, they can go any win. I say that, and I've always had them old coaches tell me, listen, don't you ever not be happy about a win. That's why I say that, because he said they're hard to come by, and they can get away fast, and we've seen that this year, the different ways in which way they can get away and how valuable they can be. And, you know, to a different thing, it's like you don't know what's around the next door. So enjoy the moment you have and enjoy the things you do well, because the things you do bad, everybody's going to tell you about. But that's our world. And then you tell yourself about it. That's the things as people we dwell on is what we don't do well. Sometimes we don't enjoy and smell, as they say, smell the roses for what you're going through and the things that you're accomplishing, whatever it is, whether you're a writer, whether you're a coach, whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, whether you're whatever it is, just enjoying life. And I think that's where we got to make sure we do that. And I'm one of the worst culprits, and I'm sitting there talking about it.
Jimbo, it's conference championship weekend for everyone else. Is it weird that for you guys it's still a regular season?
Well, I mean, I think that this whole season's weird, so it kind of fits in. This whole thing has been weird and different. And, you know, how many weeks in a row we've been without an off week and all those things. I mean, it is, but, you know, like I say, that's what life has dealt us. That's the hand we have. We got to play it. So, and it means something, so we need to go out and play well.
Jimbo, Nooney took some shots on Saturday, still managed to hang on to the ball for not being a very
well,
big
they
guy.
They said no one time, yeah. Which I think he did. I still don't understand.
For not being a big guy, does he maybe not get enough credit for being as tough as he is to go up and get those balls?
No doubt. I mean, you run this. When you run those routes in between those hashes and across there, I mean, you got to be willing to do that. But, you know, you want a big guy or you want those little nimble guys that can get in and out. But, you know, eventually you're going to get hit. And he does have that. He went in there and made a catch on the goal line. I mean, that was a third down catch. It was really big and made that play. And just his growth and what he's doing. And he still has so much more potential. He still has so much more potential and the consistency in which he's got to go with. But he's learning the toughness part of it and getting in there, that's for sure.
Jimbo, in the Florida game in 2009, it was Tebow's senior day down there. Mm-hmm. They kind of controlled that game from start to finish.
Is that the one we kicked four field goals in?
No, that was 07.
That was 07, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But did you think it was going to – that day, as good as they were, sure. And as maybe down as you guys were, you took the job maybe a week later. Did you think it would flip as quickly as it did where now you've won 7 of 8?
No. I mean, because I know beating your rivals whenever you take a job is a huge thing, and we had to figure out how to do that, you know. But again, you didn't worry about it, but it was something you had to be aware of, and it's amazing. That just shows you right there. I mean, they were on top of the world. I mean, had won 2 national championships in the last 4 years, and the games they had beaten us, if I'm not mistaken, had dominated us. All the 3 I was here as OC. I mean, I know 1 year down we scored 4, but we had kicked 4 field goals. They scored 4 touchdowns. It's 28-12. But it's amazing. And again, it's another sign of how fast and how quick things can turn. If you're not on top of it and you're not progressing forward and going forward in what you're doing, it can turn in a heartbeat.
And what does it say, I guess, about this industry, this profession? That was the 4th Florida head coach you've beaten. In 8 games.
Is that right?
In 8 years, you've beaten 4 different Florida head coaches.
11, 12. Wow. How scary it is. I mean, how unstable everything in our profession is because of the dollars that are in it, the people that are in it, the insecurity that's in it, and the instant gratification that everyone wants. And, I mean, it is. It's made this business very turbulent. I mean, there's a lot of turmoil in it. That's for sure. You see this year, I mean, there's how many jobs open and big jobs.
Jimbo, with all that turmoil going on, how do you guys kind of just try to manage all this? Every coach in the business is kind of having their names kind of thrown around for all these jobs.
You control what you can control. And just like you tell our people, compartmentalize. If you can't compartmentalize in this world, and at least in our business, and when you're running, doing what we're doing, you can't function. All right, there's a time when I got to work with this coach. There's a time when I got to work with this coach. There's a time I got to work on this part of the game plan. There's a time I got to work with the media. There's a time I got to work on recruiting. There's a time you have to compartmentalize and control what you can control at that present time. And you teach your kids that. They have to play that way. They have to understand in their life. There's school, there's outside forces, there's turmoil, there's social media, there's girlfriend, there's this, there's mom, there's dad, there's family. You have to learn to compartmentalize. If you can't, you can never function at a high level in high intense situations that are pressure packed. It doesn't work. And that's all we know. Over time, I've learned to do that. And hopefully those kids, if they're going to play this game and keep playing it at a high level and keep going to the next level, they have to learn to do that. And people say, you know, like I always try to tell you, and with the old Tiger Woods thing, when you're wanting to win the game, it's the last play. When you think about winning, no, I don't care about winning the game. I care about executing the play. When you make that call, when I make that call, I don't think about it winning the game. I think about it gives us the most success to have on that particular play to get to accomplish what I have to get accomplished. And you got to think that way. That's compartmentalizing and not getting caught up. And you hear me talk about outcomes and not process. But that's what I'm talking about. And when you're doing this, what can I control? Live in it. Take care of what I can control. Put my head on the pillow and go to bed. Thank you.